With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? Welcome in on a Tuesday. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. April 27th, 2021. We are 2 days away from the NFL draft. Luke Easterling, Draft Network's on the show at 3. Ben Standig with the latest Washington football team plans at 4:40. Head coach, Washington Wizards, Scott Brooks. They've won 8 of their last 9. 6 o'clock. Want to talk to Scott about last night's game. A couple of late technical fouls for his star guards. It's coming up in 4 hours. What's up, Daniel?
How's it going, my friend? The draft now finally feels grounded and real to me. Like, this is actually a thing. It's the week of. It felt far away. I was aware of the date the whole time. You know what I mean? But there's something about it. Now that we're seeing a year ago today, Washington drafted Chase Young. That was yesterday. You know, 9 years ago today or 10 years ago, whenever it was, Robert Griffin was drafted. That sort of stuff that's kind of coming up this week, now it feels grounded to me. Now it feels real. You hear some of the moving and the shaking. Washington made a move that I'm kind of going, this seems like a great move. What am I missing? There's something that
Why
I'm probably
missing something. Why can't it just be a great move?
Because I'm going, this seems like it's great. Why would Miami do that? Unless they know something I don't know.
Try to get out of some cap space.
Must have been it, right?
Maybe they feel like they could do better with a cheaper player in the draft. We can get into why Eric Flowers was available.
But I like it.
And was able to acquire him in just a second. All right, let's start with last night's game, though. The Wizards lost 146 to 143 in overtime. Several thoughts here. Most notably, winning streak over, which is tough. They are a blast to watch right now. They're just fun. Win or lose, this team's ultra competitive.
Agreed.
Russell Westbrook, 14 points in the fourth quarter to get them into overtime and give them a chance. And then in the end, they weren't able to get over the top. I'm not a blame the officials guy. I just never will be. I did think the officiating late in that game was horrendous.
I agree. That tech, congratulations on your big game, referee.
Two of them. Which one are you talking about?
Well, it's true.
Westbrook got a technical foul, which I thought was the most egregious of the two. Beal, for several minutes, was pretending like no one had ever been fouled before and was kind of like throwing his hands in the air and being very emphatic and dramatic.
Because he was going to the rim time after time after time. Probably endured some contact. I'm sure a couple could have been called fouls, but I'm with you. At a certain point, please just play some basketball. Don't put your team at risk.
Go back to playing basketball. But regardless, either of those two situations that were called technical fouls, most days is probably not one. And the guy that was assessing the technical fouls, weirdly coincidental, has been a referee in the NBA for 6 seconds. Because they got a bunch of guys on the COVID list, apparently, according to Justin Kutcher on the broadcast last night.
Oh, there you go.
So this dude got called up from the G League to work these games, and he's just teeing dudes up left and right.
Yeah, congrats on your big presence tonight, though. It was awesome. It's a good game for the fans to get to go back and see. They got to see the young ref showcase himself. Big night for him.
That's why they were there, right? That's why they wanted to be in the arena. Bradley Beal is just an assassin when it comes to scoring. 45 more points last night.
No threes.
Moved ahead of Steph Curry. He missed some good looks down the stretch.
Yep.
And this is kind of a thing, man. Like, as good as he is with the basketball in his hands and as great a scorer as he is, I never really feel like you would if you're in Portland and Damian Lillard is hoisting late in the game with Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm. So, well, here's my theory. Heavy minutes again for Beal, 41.
Agree. He probably didn't have his legs.
But I think that's the thing. So he's shooting his career worst three-point as he's leading the league in scoring, or close to it, right? Depending on where he and Curry are up to the minute. And there's never been less catch and shoot for him than there is now. He's creating everything. He's getting to the rim better than he ever has. He's taking on contact like he never has. He still runs, you know, like Reggie Miller off of a million different screens to kind of get the ball and get loose.
And we can ask Scott Brooks about this at 6 today. They go into this mode.
Yeah.
And it was the entire overtime, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Where Bradley Beal is running all over the place like a pinball in a pinball machine.
Just to get the ball against one guy.
Right.
Yeah. It's because they're double teaming, denying everything. It's smart. That's what you do.
But where is everyone else?
Yeah.
Why does everyone just stand and watch this?
Mm-hmm.
We're all watching like he's a wide receiver working on a corner bracketed by a safety. And it's like going one-on-two, one-on-three. And everyone else just stands around the perimeter and waits for him to get the ball. Now he's exhausted. There's 8 seconds on the shot clock and he's going to take a bad shot. Or go to the rim, get a little contact, and probably not get a call.
So they lost last night because they couldn't get a stop.
Correct.
You know, and you know, offensively, they're matching, and we could certainly complain. I think we're right to just about the way some of the things went. Russell Westbrook got a couple egregious turnovers after the few stops they did get, which ended up losing it for him. But really, this was, I think, it looked like a second game of a back-to-back. Just defensively, didn't have their legs. I think San Antonio missed 3 or 4 shots from, like, the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter all the way through overtime. Just, it was bucket after bucket after bucket after bucket. And, it, you know, that was, it ended up being one too many. But, you know, there's no shame in losing that game last night. Second game of back-to-back. San Antonio's not bad. They're obviously very well coached with Pop. But it's frustrating because you're sitting there going, ah, they had that one. That was a winnable game that they ended up letting get away. But winning at 8 out of 9, I take that every time.
Did you see the moment when Beal got knocked on the floor and, like, stayed on the ground for several seconds?
Yeah.
While they had the ball in the offensive end? I don't know, man. I just can't do whatever that is.
Yeah, that's not my favorite.
I need you to hop back up at some point. I'll give you a second or two to gather yourself. But the just staying on the ground while we're now at 14 seconds on the shot clock and it's down to 6 and we're all standing there waiting for you to get up.
Let's not do the turtle on their back thing unless you're actually hurt. Right?
That was infuriating. But otherwise, I mean, you gave me 45. You gave me a shot. And same with Westbrook. I got some good. I got some bad. You got me to overtime with 14 points in the fourth quarter. But you said the 2 turnovers were killers. But yeah, I didn't have an issue with that loss. The Spurs need the game. They're fine. They're not good. They're not bad. But you couldn't get stops. DeRozan did pretty much whatever he wanted. My favorite moment late in the game was when Westbrook basically told everyone to go away. I'm going to defend DeMar DeRozan at the horn here with the game on the line. My guy that went to the same college as me that I got a good relationship with. Like, we're either winning or losing with him hitting a shot in my face. And he ended up playing great defense, and DeRozan missed.
And I thought he made it, by the way. I mean, that was in.
Oh, it was in and out. Yeah for sure. Capitals back in action tonight.
Big
one. They got a chance to win a third straight game over the Islanders. If they can pull it off, they will, while not quite burying New York, they'll make life really hard on the Isles. And this is all going into back-to-back games with the Penguins starting on Thursday. We said before these 3 games started, you needed 4 points, you wanted 5. If the Caps can get to overtime tonight, even if they lose, they get to 5. That was the goal.
Yep.
But now, let's get a little bit greedy.
Let's get greedy.
Let's mess around and try to win a third. I don't care if Ovi plays or not. You've proven all year long you can win, short sample, without him. I'm not saying I'd like to go through the rigors of the postseason without the great 8 in his office. But if he is not available, and it didn't sound like he was going to
play. And no Schultz either, right, tonight?
Possibly, right. Yeah, that's what it looks like. I mean, I don't know what's definitive and what isn't, but that's certainly what it sounds like. So you're undermanned and you get 2 points against the Islanders and you deliver a pretty damaging blow to them would be a huge deal. Biggest story of the night, though, for the Capitals, they are playing in front of fans at home for the first time in over a year.
Go and take it in. If you're going to that game, enjoy the bleep out of it.
Only a few of you. I mean, it's only 2,100.
Right.
Somebody listening probably is. You're right, man. Enjoy it. That's the best atmosphere in town, by the way.
Yep.
That's the one that we're most robbed of. Like, getting back to Nats Park was borderline emotional,
mm-hmm.
like almost tear-inducing. I hadn't been to a game since Game 5 of the World Series until last week. That was incredible.
That's a long time.
Getting back to Capital One Arena to see hockey, though, anyone who's been to those games when 20,000 people are all wearing the same color and all screaming the entire time, and most of the people there know every player on the team and where they came from and how they got drafted and acquired, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
The Caps atmosphere is just a little bit better and above some of the others. Part of it's indoor. Part of it's just because of the volume and how loud it is. The speakers are great. But Tonight's the first time we get a little taste of that in, what, 16 months, 15 months, something like that?
I can't do the math, but it's a long time. So I know zero in 2020, so whatever the math is there, right? Man, oh, man. I'm jealous of you folks who are getting to go. Really take it in, enjoy it, cheer for the Caps. They've got a chance to be 5 points clear of the Islanders here with, you know, 8 or 9 games to go. That's a significant deal all of a sudden. This little 3-game piece right here, you've done all you can. You've done everything right for the first part of it, right? Winning in a shootout, so you get the 2, they get the 1. Beat them in regulation. So now you're up 4-1, really, in terms of your aggregate looking point totals. You're 3 points clear. That could change dramatically, you know, if it doesn't go your way tonight. But you could be 5 points clear of them at the end of this evening with a showdown with Pittsburgh, pretty much for the division later on this week.
Nats were idle yesterday. This is one of the reasons, by the way, that they were comfortable putting Juan Soto on the injured list rather than giving him a few days to see if that shoulder would feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Over the 10 days that he'll be on the IL, they only have 7 games. This is one of their lighter portions of their schedule all season. So they were off yesterday, and they're off again, oddly enough, on Thursday. So twice this week they don't have games, and I think that's a big reason why they said, well, if Soto's only going to miss 7 out of 10 and we can get him back on that 11th day, and he only misses 7 games, then let's do that. Max Scherzer on the hill tonight. Dunedin, Florida against the Blue Jays, who aren't allowed to play in Toronto because Canada does not want the teams from America coming and going over the course of the season. But here's the biggest development about tonight. Hopefully Max dominates and throws like he has. He's pitched like a Cy Young Award winner. He has been really good so far this season. In fact, if you go back to opening day when he gave up 4 home runs to the first 7 or something batters he faced, from the second inning of opening day on, he's given up 1 run so far this season, and he's creeping up on 20 innings without giving up one. But what I'm pumped about is they get a DH tonight.
Oh, hello there.
At an American League ballpark against the Blue Jays, interleague play. This offense needs Ryan Zimmerman.
Paging Ryan Zimmerman, please report to the on-deck circle. Ryan Zimmerman to the on-deck circle.
Or Josh Bell or Kyle Schwarber, someone.
Somebody.
To get going.
They need an extra hitter, big league.
You know they have 14 home runs all season?
I honestly would have guessed less. Not trying to be difficult.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Soto's got his couple and Turner's got 4.
Like, there's some random ones that, like, Josh Harrison ran into one.
Yeah, I was like, is anyone else?
Has one.
If you'd asked me off the top of my head without looking, I would have said 10. I would have said 10 bolts.
I haven't looked today to see what the numbers were like, but going into play at the end of the weekend, the Mets had the lowest total in the league with 12, and the Nats had 14. There are teams that are coming up on, like, 40 home runs.
Yeah.
Please start hitting the ball over the fence. It's never been easier to do than it is right now with these baseballs. I need people to start homering.
I need the guys that were brought into homer to homer. That Kyle Schwarber home run that time to end the game was really fun.
Yeah, he and Bell both have 1 so far.
Right. Yeah, Cincinnati's got 34 up at the top of the league. 34.
So have the Mets caught the Nats yet?
They have caught them. 14-14 down at the bottom.
Nice.
Tied for 29th. Huh? Please homer. Pittsburgh's got more. Pittsburgh has 2 major league hitters,
right,
and I can't name them. Philip Evans is it in the middle of their order.
Before,
who's that?
Who is that guy? A guy that's raking, by the way.
Yeah, he hits.
Before people start telling me, well, they haven't played that many games. Them and the Mets have the fewest games. You're right. Like, the Rockies have played a game or 2 more than those teams and have 13 more home runs. You can absolutely still have more than a home run per game.
Yeah, they've played 2 less than the Royals, who have 7 more bolts. Yeah. The Royals! Michael A. Taylor! Royals.
Michael A. Taylor might be tied for the team lead in home runs if he was still here.
Yeah. Whit Merrifield's got a couple bolts. I mean, you see the point. Expansion level teams like Baltimore, what they're doing. The ball needs to go over the fence. They trying to put hits together has never been more difficult. Just look at that Dodgers series, right? Where they out-hit the Dodgers in a couple of their losses, right? They're wrapping 8, 9, 10, 11 hits together, ending up with 1 or 2 runs. Ball's got to go over the fence. There's no other more complicated way to say it for this offense to get going. They need some of their boppers, 4, 5, and 6, Bell, Schwarber, and Castro to hit homers, and it's not happening.
You mentioned our boy Michael A.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care about this at all, but I'll tell you anyway. I was talking to the manager of the Royals, Mike Matheny, this weekend.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And Matheny pinch hit for Michael A. Taylor a few days. Excuse me, not pinch hit. Pinch ran for Michael A. Taylor a few days ago. And my point to Matheny was, dude, there's no way you've ever pinch run for a guy faster than Michael A. Taylor. Like, I'll bet you, and the StatCast era agrees with this, but I mean all time, there's never been a runner on base as fast as Michael A. Taylor that got pinch ran for, but he pinch ran Jerrod Dyson. He was like the fastest guy on the planet.
Oh, fastest kid alive. Yeah, okay.
So, yes, you upgraded. Like, based on 0.9 feet per second over, you know, it's like 4 feet over the course of an inside the park
home
run.
That's crazy.
So he pinch ran for, and I said to him, I'm like, there's no way you've ever pinch ran for a guy that fast. And he's like, no chance.
No chance.
But his point was, Dyson's on our roster for literally one reason and one reason only. And that is that if we're down a run and a guy gets on base in the late innings, I'm going to pinch run him because he's going to have the best chance to score. So I guess even if Michael A. Taylor, who can fly, is the guy on base, Dyson can fly a little bit faster.
Three steals, couple homers, hitting .288. On base, .347 clip, Michael A.
And according to the advanced analytics, if you're into that kind of thing, it's been the best center fielder in baseball.
Yeah, it's just really good center fielder. It's interesting.
Good for him.
So it's people just sharing information. I don't know what's happening. Just we're just different players in different cities. Some used to be here.
Now, for the record,
yep.
Since it sounds like you're having a lot of fun over there.
I'm just having some fun.
You're having a lot of fun.
I'm having a little bit of fun.
I had no problem letting him walk.
Right.
And that was the correct thing to do.
Yeah.
Are you confirming? Are you verbally retweeting?
I think Michael A. Taylor's playing well. And that's fun to see because I like him. And I wish that our center fielder was playing well.
I
think those are reasonable things to wish.
I see. So this is a Victor Robles thing for you.
Yeah, yeah. I understand what happened. You don't want to pony up in free agency. You've got a guy that's under arbitration eligible.
You wouldn't have kept Michael Taylor.
Not in that situation, no.
And traded Victor Robles.
Years ago, I would have traded him for JT Realmuto and had Michael A. Taylor in center and Realmuto at catcher. I would have had that.
That would have been fun.
Which I would have enjoyed.
Three more hits for Realmuto last night. I think, I don't know, I'd have to look up I'm guessing top of my head, I think he's hitting like .390 this year. Something crazy like that.
He's really good.
Best catcher in baseball. All right, next let's get into the Washington football team. We're 2 days away from the NFL draft, so we can talk about what they'll do at 19. But today, some huge news. They traded for Ereck Flowers.
I love this move, Grant.
I do too.
I love it.
Flowers was very good as a guard here. In fact, so good that he made himself a ton of money, went and got close to $10 million a year to play for the Dolphins. And now Miami, with 2 years left on his deal, is shipping him back to Washington. Oddly enough, with that whole staff that had him, gone, and it's a new staff. So it's almost coincidental that he was here before, because it's not like he was here with these guys or this front office. They basically never worked with Ereck Flowers before. But he comes back, presumably to start at left guard. What does this all mean? And how will it affect the draft? Because I was hearing something last night about what they might do that no longer is in play based on trading for Ereck Flowers. That's next on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We only have to wait two more days to the NFL draft. Two more, that's it. The extra week this year is killing me.
Yep, I'm not happy about it.
I texted a couple, I think it might have been JP here at the station and some other people last night. I'm like, this extra week of waiting for the NFL draft has kind of ruined everything a little bit. Not only because I really wish that it had already happened and I'm tired of waiting, but the amount of rumors, silly season
stuff.
Yeah,
it's an extra week of festering.
Speculation.
Of Uncle Festering. Yeah.
Time being filled with stories that aren't stories.
I agree.
It's fun enough. I get why we do it, but it's just not necessary. And it wouldn't be happening. We'd already be there. We'd be doing this. Welcome back to G&D on the Fan. So Washington makes a trade. They swap late-round picks with Miami, and they bring over Eric Flowers. Flowers, who left Washington for the Dolphins last offseason and has been in Miami, played pretty well by all accounts last year, was really good in Washington his 1 year here. You and I remember interviewed him at training camp. We're immensely impressed with his mindset, his mentality. He had kind of failed out as a tackle, had been kicked inside the guard, and he's revitalized his career. He's played at a really high level. You're high on this. I feel good about it. It's a lot of money at a position where you've already committed an absurd amount of money for Brandon Scherff. You're paying Scherff more than any other guard makes for this year to rent him for one season at $18 million. And now you're bringing in another guard at a hair under $9 million for each of the next 2 years. But you don't have to worry about guard now. And you got, at the left side, an upgrade from Wes Schweitzer. So you now have a left guard you like, a center you like, a right guard that's an all-pro, and a right tackle who's a fringe Pro Bowler. All you need is a left tackle, and Schweitzer, who was pretty solid for you last year, is now a backup.
Yeah, so here's the number of things that I like are these. We go, the barter system, which gave rise to capitalism and everything else, where I've got more of one thing than you've got, and you've got more of one thing than I got, and we can trade, we can come up with a system that makes sense for everybody. When you look at the NFL, you've got a certain amount of resources. Everybody starts with, in theory, the same, although cash is maybe a little bit different for certain teams that are richer than poorer, but bear with me. Everyone's got a certain number of draft picks, a certain number of salary cap dollars, and everybody's needs are different. And if you're in a position where you have a bit more salary cap space. Washington, I think, had the ninth most entering yesterday before this deal gets consummated. You could spend a draft pick on this. That's valuable. You could put a dollar amount on that. I would prefer not to, by the way. I don't want to spend a draft pick on a guard again. I don't want to go through this whole thing like we're going through with Scherff. I need an answer there. They got a bit more cap space. It's worth it to them to spend that little bit of cap to solve this thing for multiple years, it looks like. I mean, Flowers made a pretty good, you know, market value. $9 million cap hit this year, and it's up to 10 next year. That's pretty steep, but not outrageous. It's not 18 like they're paying Scherff. So to me, this is a position of strength where they go, we've got a little bit more cap space. We're not going to fly around on what used to be Redskins 1 and pick up Albert Haynes with this late in free agency. This move makes sense to us because it's not costing us anything in terms of draft allocation. A little bit of our cap space will go to solve something that we feel good about. We upgraded. I love this because of where they were. If they were up against the cap, I'd go, what are you going to do? Because you probably have to cut somebody. They don't.
No, I love this as well because I think you upgraded a position, and that's what you should be trying to do right now. You had a left guard in Schweitzer who seemed to outperform expectations and outkick his coverage a little bit last year, and now you've made a guy that on a championship-level team is probably not starting 16 games a year, a backup. And Eric Flowers, who for the last couple of seasons at least has looked like a pretty solid NFL guard, is your starting left guard. Here's what I think they're doing, though, most notably. Number one, they did add a starter. I saw a rap sheet or somebody saying he'll come in and compete for a guard job. You're not bringing him in at his rate. Whether the Dolphins pay some of it or not is irrelevant to me. He's your starting left guard immediately. Right. That's number one. Number two, they are preparing for life without Brandon Scherff. It's very obvious to me. I still don't get why they tagged him and are keeping him around. The default everyone goes back to is, well, they have a lot of money. By that logic, you can't do anything that doesn't make sense. Yes, they do have a lot of money. So you can spend the money on whatever you'd like.
Right.
But you understand what I'm saying. If the argument whenever they do anything is, dude, they got money, don't worry about it. Please use your money on things that are more important than a guard, number one. Number two, if you're going to keep Brandon Scherff around, no problem with that. Great football player. first All-Pro you've had since 1996. Keep him around for the long haul. And if you're not going to be able to do that, don't rent him for one season in a year in which you're not championship caliber anyway. Now, do you raise your floor with Brandon Scherff? Probably. Do you make it harder to regress substantially and lose 10 or 11 games? Yeah, you do. But I care more about like the long-term health of the operation and thinking about 2 and 3 years out. And I just don't quite get the goal if you're just going to let him walk at the end of the year. Which historically, Danny, we've talked about this. Guys who are tagged 2 times very rarely re-sign after a second tag with their team. More often than not, they hit the market. And so I think that's going to happen with Scherff. But this speaks to that, I think. He's likely out, whether it's Flowers and Schweitzer next year or Flowers and someone else you go get in free agency or you draft this year. You're better off when Scherff leaves after trading for Flowers with multiple years
than you would have been before. Yeah, you set the stage for it. If the stated goal with Scherff is to sign him to a long-term deal, this was the incorrect approach from the team. If this was, we're not quite ready to let him walk for nothing just yet, we can swallow this bad cap hit for a year, then it makes more sense to me. But my understanding, and maybe you've got better information than I do, maybe other people have heard other things, I've heard he's turned down overtures or turned down offers from the team because now he's got $18 million.
There's no reason for him
to respond or otherwise. So I think he's out the door as soon as he possibly can, right? So from the team's perspective, what was the goal? If it was to have him for these 2 years and pay a premium for the short-term nature of it, I suppose job well done. If it was to sign to a long-term deal, which I think they want to do, that's just me reading the tea leaves, then this was not the right way to go about it, in my opinion.
I also, like, let's say they got a long-term deal done. You've elevated the salary so much that you've actually hurt yourself on that long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make any argument for keeping him in terms of the long-term. Like, any argument is just that it's a one-year thing and they have money, so it's not like they're going to go poor anytime soon, and he's a good football player, so why not give it to him? Okay, I guess. I mean, there's nothing necessarily intrinsically terrible about that philosophy other than, what are we doing here?
Salary cap. The goal? Either matters or it doesn't. Give everyone $3 million than there would be on the open market.
Right.
Make everyone happy. If in a different sport, when there aren't any ceilings, then yeah, do that.
So here's the last kind of observation I've got about Washington trading for Eric Flowers, other than the fact that they just value guard way more than I do. And it's going to be hard for me to update my file as the NFL seems to be slowly at a glacial pace in spots around the league thinking differently about guard. I was just talking to J.P. Finley. You can listen to him and Brian Mitchell middays every day here on The Fan. And J.P.'s point was, well, there are a lot of coaches and people around the league that value guard more than they used to. And that's true. But the guys that I think most highly of really don't. You know, I think of offense in a lot of ways by default, I think, based on when I covered the league, like Mike and Kyle Shanahan. And so talking to them so much, seeing it how they saw it, those guys don't care about guards. Now, whatever you think about Jay Gruden, he didn't care about guards. Sean McVay, can you name either of the Rams guards? He's not spending money at guard. Andy Reid, the Chiefs offensive line that they win with, is very pedestrian. They've this offseason spent a bunch of money to upgrade it. But one of their starting guards this year is going to be a guy who was out of football retired over the last 17 months. Howie Long's kid, Kyle, who played for the Bears. So, like, the smartest offensive minds in the league, they're not spending a lot of money at guard. But, yeah, there are people around the league that do. Okay, fine. I heard last night from a couple different people in separate conversations that the name that Washington would lock in on at number 19, potentially, if he was available to them, was Elijah Vera Tucker.
Interesting.
Who is the guard tackle from USC.
And kind of, kind of another Scherff 2.0, honestly.
Yes.
Right?
And when I say the guard tackle, he's a guard. He's listed as a tackle on a lot of this stuff, but I know that here they think of him as a guard. A lot of teams think of him as a guard. But this was before they traded for Flowers today, remember. This was last night. And I'm sitting there thinking, wait a second. You gave Scherff a franchise tag at $18 million per year. And now you're going to use a first-round pick potentially on a guard.
On another guard?
I couldn't wrap my head around that.
If they see him as a tackle, because he's athletic enough,
but
and you got a left tackle.
What I was told.
If they see him as a guard, oh.
So here's what I'm thinking, though. A fan could call in and say, dude, Scherff's an all-pro at right guard. Vera Tucker's supposed to be one of the best guards in the league in a few years. Mm-hmm. You got two amazing guards. What are you worried about? I'm not necessarily worried about anything. I just need to stop caring so much about guard. Like you've kept Sheriff this year. You brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick for 1 year. There's clearly some urgency to be pretty good this year. Address another need. Go figure something else out. Now, by trading for Flowers, I think that Vera Tucker's no longer in play. That would be my thought, my
consideration. That's my hope.
Wouldn't it be a stunner, though?
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? So, you trade for Flowers to start at left guard. You still have Brandon Scherff at right guard. And then you draft Vera Tucker, like, preparing double and tripling down on guard for the next few years.
Like it's too many for the NBA, let alone, like, for the NFL. Like,
well,
what are
Scott
we doing?
Brooks would find a way to use all
three. Well, he would. He put all those guys in the rotation.
He is on the show today with us at 6 today. But so I'm now, I was ready. I actually wrote it down in the rundown right off the top to come in today and say, if Vera Tucker's there, he's the guy. I believe Elijah Vera Tucker could be the pick. And now I'm done with that. I've moved off that because they went and got Flowers. But they really care about guard. I guess that's my big observation. They're very serious about having really good guards.
So there's a little bit of devil's advocate here for a second, if I may.
Do it.
Quick passing game. That's the league. Right? Everything is quick, quick, quick. Close to the line of scrimmage, spread you out, get rid of the football, compensate for maybe not having the best offensive line personnel because you're paying your quarterback so much. You're probably paying one guy that catches the ball an awful lot. Maybe you're paying a left tackle, but for the most part, you're filling in with the Kyle Longs of the world, right? You're Wes Schweitzers of the universe. No disrespect to those guys. They're NFL players, but come on, we all know the difference. So maybe defensive coordinators have kind of realized, well, our bread is buttered. We need more Aaron Donalds. We need more guys, pressure up the middle, A-gap blitzes. That's the weak link of the offensive line. That'll be our strength, and that's how we'll knock some of these guys off of their rhythm and not allow some of these quick passes and things to take place. So maybe it's a reaction to the reaction. Maybe we say, hey, maybe guard is a bit more premium than it was a handful of years ago. Because I think the philosophy that you're talking about, the Shanahan philosophy, and to me, a lot of great offensive minds still have it that way, is I'll put a chair there. If Corey Lichtensteiger is available, he'll come play guard for me right now, wherever I am, if my name's Shanahan. If I got a men's league team, Corey Lichtensteiger is my left guard, and I don't think twice about it. I still tend to think, by the way, it's 11th, maybe 10th on my list of priorities to address in my offense. If everything else is just awesome, if I've got the 91 Redskins, and I go, I could use a guard. Then I think it's fine, right? But other than that, like the amount of resources they're spending on guard to me is staggering. It's their highest compensated position.
That would be my takeaway. It's just they really value this position more than I do. Now, I really like the trade for Flowers. To just swap picks, you're getting better. And bringing a guy back who you didn't want to have walk out the door initially. My point would be this, though. Move on from Vera Tucker. Like, you can't draft him and trade for Flowers and pay Brandon Scherff almost $20 million at a position where no one else makes more than 15. We can't do all of those things in the same offseason. Then I've got to start asking questions about what's going on and why we're doing this.
So just real quick, to give you an idea, the Washington football team is spending $35 million in 2021 cap dollars on guard. The next closest team is $23 million, and that's the Jaguars. That's not the company I want to be in on either one of those fronts.
That's actually stunning to me. Like, I would have thought that they were spending several million more, but you're saying
18% of their cap is on guard after this Eric Flowers acquisition.
And by the way, you tell someone that and they go, dude, they got money, man.
Guard.
Shh.
It's more than twice as much as Tampa, for example.
I don't care if they have money.
Who's at 17?
Two things on the whole they got money, man, argument. Number one, this is how you don't have money anymore, when you just give money away to people that you don't need to do it with or for. And number two, use the money on something that helps you more. Or, if you want to address guard, here's your plan. Trade for Eric Flowers, draft Elijah Vera Tucker. Brandon Scherff, thank you for the time. It's been real. Like, but you have to have that plan in advance. You can't just keep him around and then execute the rest of your guard plan. I don't think Vera Tucker will be there, so we won't have to worry about it, but that will be, you know, we've said all along, like, what's the thing that would happen you'd be upset with? And I keep saying there's pretty much nothing that can happen that would annoy me.
Now I got a couple things.
He is good enough and safe enough and like a lock to be a good football player. It's like being mad when they took Brandon Scherff, number 5, and kicked him inside the guard immediately. I can't be upset. You got a really good football player. But, man, that just doesn't make a lot of sense. What do you guys make of the Flowers deal? We're both high on it in a vacuum, but what do you make of what they think about the guard position? You ever heard of, by the way, Lakin Tomlinson or Mike Person?
Tomlinson sounds familiar. He played in the league, didn't he?
Those were the starting guards for the 49ers in the Super Bowl out of the NFC.
Oh, there you go.
We could do the same thing with the Chiefs if you want to as well. Stefan Wisniewski and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Tardif.
He's the doctor. Yeah. The doctor that wasn't in the league last year because he was saving lives. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There is no shortage of content in DC sports today. You found a good spot for your afternoon. Grant and Danny on the Fan on this Tuesday, the 27th of April. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk saying the Washington football team and Beth Wilkinson are at odds over details of a settled lawsuit. Remember, it's almost May. We still don't have this Beth Wilkinson report that we were told on Super Bowl Sunday.
And I think this is why.
Was coming. Of course this is why.
Yeah.
The team is apparently, she says, not cooperating. The team says that they have been cooperating. But we can get into this in more detail next hour. We want to hit the phones, 800-636-1067, but explain what's going on.
Here's the key paragraph. Attorney Beth Wilkinson, who was hired by Snyder last year to investigate allegations of wrongdoing within the organization, has now been accused by the team of trying to unveil confidential information via a court challenge regarding sealed information relating to a past sexual harassment lawsuit. So let me unpack that super quick. Wilkinson is trying to unseal something that has been sealed. Meaning, hey, this is important to my investigation, You guys are blocking me. I'm going to court to get that unsealed. The team's accusing her of trying to unseal the sealed. She's like, yeah, I'm very aware that I'm trying to do that. Like,
Whatever she wants to unseal is really important to Dan Snyder, I guess, that it doesn't get unsealed.
Right. So what the Washington Post believes is that it was a 2009 settled lawsuit, which was, again, according to the Post, a $1.6 million deal that accused Snyder of misconduct during a flight from Las Vegas to Washington, D.C. That's according to the Post, that's the heart of the matter. So the team is accusing Wilkinson, hey, you're trying to, you know, incorrectly unseal this document. They're arguing in court about it, about whether she has the right to. And her point is, this is part of the investigation. This is going to be damaging to the team. They're like, ooh, that's a threat. She's like, no, it's because it's not great for you. That's the summary here.
We'll get into this in more detail next hour for sure. If you are just joining us on GND, we started the show by talking about this trade today. Eric Flowers being brought in as a guard. He's going to start at left guard opposite Brandon Scherff, very likely at that position. But a lot of guard focus for this football team this offseason. And they have invested almost twice as much money as any other team. Did you say 25 mil to... What were the numbers?
The numbers, and I have it right in front of me here, 35.6 million. The number two team is 23 million. So it's a difference of over 12. There are a lot of playoff teams in this list, by the way, that have spent a lot of money on guards because they have good ones. You're twice as much as the Colts, more than twice as much as the Bucks, the Steelers, the Broncos, etc. You could spend on guard. They're spending 2.5 times on guard what, say, the Browns are.
What do you think? They gave Scherff almost 20 million, position where, you know, really good guards get paid generally 12 to 14. And if you're new in the market, you're getting 15, 16 per year. And they said, that's okay. We'll just give him almost 19 a pop. Now they've traded for one that makes clearly close to $10 million a year. And I was told last night they were going to draft one at 19 before that trade. Sam is in Silver Spring. What's up, Sam? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, pal.
Doing well.
Great show. I just want to say, first of all, I don't have a problem with them spending this much. If they could afford it, why not? If you look at all the good teams that have won the Super Bowl and make it to the Super Bowl, they all have good offensive lines. Patrick Mahomes, the best player in the NFL, the best quarterback potentially of all time. He looked like an average QB out there because of his offensive line. So I personally have no problem. The better offensive line, the better chance they have at the playoffs. And also, if you look at this roster, not in comparison to any other roster, but just this roster, why isn't it close to a Super Bowl caliber team?
For Washington?
Why isn't it?
Yeah, why isn't it?
Well, because you don't have a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. Pretty simply. I mean, if you have a really good quarterback, you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. If you've got a guy that hasn't gotten through a full season as a starter without being benched and has never been to the playoffs as a starting quarterback, you're probably not a Super Bowl caliber team. Appreciate the phone call. The Chiefs last year were undone by their line. That is true. Both of their tackles were hurt when they played in the Super Bowl, and they had an interior lineman out as well who got hurt after week one. The year before that, when they didn't address the interior of their offensive line at all, they were starting a guy named Austin Reeder. And their Super Bowl run, it was a former Washington football team, seventh rounder,
I believe, right?
Who they cut. They won the Super Bowl that year with Patrick Mahomes. But yeah, he was pressured 29 times in the Super Bowl this year when all their linemen were hurt. That's true. Paulie is in Norfolk on GND. What's up, Paulie?
Dolce and Gabbana. What's going on,
hey,
guys?
Buddy.
How are you, pal?
To the W, man. Hey, I'm going to say this much, like the last call. I don't mind paying that money for this one-year fix. That's basically what it is. You got Scherff inflating that number, but he's not coming back next year. Let's just be honest about it. We're not going to be able to sign him long term, you know. And so for us to make this 1 year fix and make this run, I don't mind it. You look at it like, look at that Tampa Bay game last year, and Ndamukong Suh and the other tackle destroyed that front.
Paulie, appreciate the call, brother. I got to cut you off because we're late, but you still got the best pipes in the game. We're going to talk draft next. What about 19 in the guard position? G&D on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this.
It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.